How are we doing? I am so stoked. I can't contain it. I really can't. It's, you know, we got the swimming pool. It's back. I'm going to talk to some of the people who are our new believers about baptism, give them the opportunity to be baptized. You know, we call it Dress Down Sunday, but actually it's going to be Friends and Family Dress Down Sunday, where we get to the pool, we can cook out, we can have all kinds of good stuff. You know, invite friends. Because we're about building relationships. And we want to enjoy their company, you know, and let them taste to see God is good. Amen. Even amongst his people. Amen. Amen. Are you excited today? I'll tell you what, you guys yesterday that were working out in the fields, and making people aware of streams, I want to commend you. It's tough, but I've made some suggestions to Pastor Mike to meet with you guys and see what we can do to improve this. We're not satisfied. If you're satisfied in the outcome yesterday, then come talk to me. And I'll show you that you won't be satisfied either. God is not satisfied. He will not be satisfied until every man, woman, and child is part of his house. And he will do that until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Today's message is remember. Remember who you are. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And when you're there, lift your sword. All right, Miss Suzette. Pastor Mike's there. It's putting you guys to shame. Amen. Anyone who does not have a word, I will more than willing to share my word with you. Kev? Don't be embarrassed. Okay. Dan, would you help him find 1 Peter 2? Remember. Keep your swords up. Father, I have your word and I believe it's true.
Father, I have your word and I believe it's true.
I am what it says I am.
I have everything it says I have.
And I can do everything it says I can do.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. I am reading from the Message Bible. This is not an authoritative Bible. It is more of a paraphrasical Bible, but I like the translation because it's very, very simple. And what I've been sensing over the several weeks is a lot of people are under it. And I don't want you to be under it. I want you to be remember who you are. In Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me read and you follow along in your translation. This is Peter speaking. He says, so clean your house. Make a clean sweep of malice and pretense, envy and hurtful talk. You have tasted and seen the goodness of God. Now like infants at the breast, drink deep of God's pure kindness. Then you'll grow up, mature and whole in him. Say with me, I'm whole in Jesus Christ. And that is a fact. You're not whole because of your spouse, you're whole because of him and what he's done. Amen? Let us continue. Welcome to the living stone, the source of life. The workman took one look at it and threw it out. But God has set it in a place of honor. He's talking about Christ here. Place yourselves as building stones for the construction of a sanctuary vibrant with life, in which you'll serve as holy priests, offering Christ-approved lines or lives to God. The scripture provides precedent. Look, I am setting a stone in Zion, a cornerstone in a place of honor. Whoever trusts in this stone as a foundation will never have cause to regret it. To you who trust in him, he's a stone to be proud of. But to those who refuse to trust him,
For those who refuse to trust him, the stone of the workmen throughout is now the chief cornerstone, chief foundational stone. For in the untrusting, it's a stone to trip over, a boulder blocking the way. Pastor Mike received the word of breakthrough, break out. That's a word of exhortation that the Lord wants us to have. And he's trying to set and remind us that there are obstacles in our way, which came from Dan. They trip and fall because they refuse to obey just as predicted. But you are the chosen ones of God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work. Speak out for him. Tell others night and day the difference he makes in your lives. For nothing to something, or from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. We have, in the last several weeks, heard some really good preaching and teaching about faith and maintaining your freedom. Really good basic teaching. And what is coming, you're going to need to elevate your faith. I'm not just saying that because some are already experiencing this. We made declarations at the beginning of the year that we were going into this community to let them know about us being here and about the power of God. And the power of God that is to be flowing out of his people. But I sensed also that what we have done is we've taken our eyes off the prize and we've looked at our situations. And scripture says, lift up your eyes into the hills to see whence where your help comes from. Jesus is here to help you, to take you from point A to point B and on. Okay? And I was saying to the Lord, why is it that God's people are feeling like they're under it? Now let me explain to you some of the stuff that's been going on. I've been dealing with flat tires for the last 3 weeks. As I was talking with Pastor Mike yesterday at the festival, when you recognize a pattern, there is a spiritual entity that's at work there. I want to know what that spirit was. And guess what that spirit is? No, it's not a flat tire spirit. It's a spirit of hindrance. So when you declare you're going to do something for the Lord, Nolan, did you get your tires? Word. I forgot to ask you yesterday. When you declare you're going to do something for the Lord, expect some sort of retaliation. Because that retaliation is going to first see if what you said is true. And second of all, if you're going to follow through. Jesus didn't come to just bring us to streams. And I told you guys, he has a marvelous plan. He is bringing people who want God so that they can go into their communities and take the land. Amen? Streams is not going to be the church like in the past. God is going to make Streams unique. We're not an all-white church. Praise God for that. Because, gosh, you know, we need sunscreen. We're not all black church. Praise God. I got some work to catch up on my brother. I want us to be the church of revelation. And it came from every tongue, every tribe, every nation. We're to be multicolor, multicultural. We're to go to the nations. And that's what we're beginning to do. But God doesn't want you under it. Understand this is normal. You guys are God's favorite kids. All of God's kids are his favorite. He doesn't single out one better than the other, except Jesus.
Okay? And I praise God, I'm in with Jesus, so that's all I need.
But he has impressed upon my heart that we forget. When we begin to lower our eyes and start looking at the circumstances we're in, we begin to have the woe is me's. Woe is me. You don't understand, Pastor. No, you don't understand. You don't understand what it took God to bring me to this place, to pioneer this work, and now he's bringing you. And faithful is he who calls you, who will also do it. We have to stay the course. Stay the course. Resistance is futile. I'm sorry, brother. Yeah. When you come to church, you ought to have fun. You know? And one of the things that God has delivered me from is I was serious about everything. I'm still serious, but I'm not dead serious. God has made me alive. Okay? And I know in whom I believe in. You must have that confidence and remember who you are. He doesn't leave you or forsake you. He's waiting for you to call upon him. And the problem is we forget that he's there and we start trying to do things our own strength. And we've forgotten. We've forgotten. It's okay. But don't struggle in it. Give it to him. And continue on with what God has called into your life. You see, there's nothing more important than the high calling of God in your life. My calling is no greater than your calling. Well, you know, I'm not like Pastor. I don't want you to be like me. Be like Jesus. And do what he tells you to do. Remember who, say, remember who I am. You gotta remember. Because I'll tell you what, where we're going, you better remember. You're gonna need brothers and sisters that when you ring them up at 1 o'clock in the morning, you're not gonna say, oh, I just didn't want to Pastor Mike. Oh, you know, Pastor Gary's a little too busy. You know, I didn't want to. That's what we're here for. It's to your advantage, Scripture says. If you don't take advantage of what God has supplied into you, you're the one who has forgotten. You need to remember who you are. Remember, it was the Lord who called us while we were still in darkness, still in trespasses and sin. Do you remember what you were like before you came to Christ? I remember the type of person I was. When you look at the pictures that Irene took, you would say, who is that guy? God has done a marvelous transformation. He has taken something that was ornery, rebellious, hostile, and he has formed me in such a way that I love you guys with the love of Jesus Christ. I want to see the best come through. And you haven't seen the best yet because you're focusing on the wrong thing. Jesus promised us, he said, in this world, you will have peace in paradise. He said, you would have abundance of troubles. Is that scripture?
Chapter verse.
I'm not a chapter verse guy. But he said, in this world you will have tribulation. So why do we find that it's odd that we go through tribulation? I remember when we started this ministry, and Sean, you were here, and so was Nolan. And I would come in,
And I would be like this every Sunday. And Sean asked me, what's going on? I said, I have to live like my head is on a swivel. Because not only am I expecting him to do something, Satan, in my life, I'm here to protect you from what he wants to do in your life too. Now we have two men of God with their heads on a swivel. But it's not focusing on what Satan wants to do. It's focusing on what God can do. Amen? So you have to remember, stop focusing on your situation and circumstances. Yeah, your situation is real. Have you given it to God? That's the question. Have you given it to God? Once you give it to God, take your hands off of it. If you keep your hands on it, what happens, Dan? It's still yours. You didn't give it away. You see, when our hands are full of the stuff, we can't receive the blessing of God because we're holding on to something that's inferior, not something that's superior. But it takes us to remember who we are. For the first time, we can honestly say that once we got saved, things began to look different. Why? Jesus is working it all out. He doesn't want you trapped in the bondages that the Satan wants to debilitate you in. Whether that's drugs, drinking, you know, anger, whatever those things. I had them all. So I'm preaching to myself and remembering I was of low quality. Now he's made me of high quality. And he wants to do the same in your life. Don't let anybody tell you that you're inferior. You may not have the looks. You may not have all the prized possessions. You may not have the abundant things in the world. But that doesn't negate what God says about you. You are highly praised, highly favored, and God desires you. More than what we could ever imagine. And God came today and he told us. He told us what he wanted to do. And what he wants us to do. We've got to come out of this immature thinking that we're coming to church to have a good time and to be entertained. First of all, you're not coming to church. You're part of the church. We come together to celebrate what Jesus has done this past week and what he's going to do this coming week. And the opportunities that he's giving to us so that we can win those who haven't heard or those who haven't believed in Almighty God. Because he wants to do things supernaturally in our lives. But you gotta remember, he gave us a new heart. Now, that heart hasn't been refined yet. Nevertheless, when you accepted Jesus Christ, what did the scripture say? He took that stony heart out and he put a new heart in us. And on top of it, he wrote his laws on it that we may not sin against him. What are those laws? Tony, you told me what they were. That should be your banner. To love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor. Nowhere do I see that we need to focus on our problems. We need to solve them the way he wants us to solve them. But there's something more important than just focusing on our problems. And the fact of the matter is, when we're focusing on our problems, we're focusing on self. It's the truth. What am I going to do? How am I going to get out of this? What, you know, I don't have the money to do X, Y, and Z. I don't, you know, people don't love me or whatever peculiarity that you want to put in there. The bottom line is you're not looking to the Lord. You're looking to self. And you've been delivered from that. You have a new heart. If you name the name of Jesus Christ, you have a new heart. You have new principles to live after. And they're far greater than the things that we have going in our lives previous to Jesus Christ. And we forget. We forget that we have so great a treasure in our heart. I don't want us to forget. When he put his law on our heart and he gave us a new heart, he put us into a family. I like what Gomez had said. When you're here, you're in a family. You're in a safe place. I know many of us have come out of families that were not safe places. And we live with that deficiency because we think that's acceptable. That is not. In this place, we love because God loves. We love you. We're not here to transform you, manipulate you. You know, if you're satisfied with your life, that's fine. I'm going to encourage you to be more because I see more that the potential that God has planted in each and every life. I see more than what the world wants to do. The world wants to abuse that, wants to cut it off. And some of us live under that all the time. That's not God. God has set us free. And that freedom needs to be expressed in a safe place so that when we go into the world, whether it's through our jobs, whether it's through certain outreaches, or just life in general, we should be looking for the opportunities to share Jesus with someone. I was sharing in this morning's Bible class, I ask the Lord every day, give me one opportunity that I may find somebody to talk about you. Give me the eyes to see that opportunity, recognize that opportunity, so that I may make a difference in a person's life. You see, we not only forget who we are, we forget who He is. We still want our rights and privileges. And Jesus will let you have them. He will. Till they destroy you. We forget that He's Lord. That He has exchanged. When we came to Him, we exchanged something. He took all my sin. He took all my degradation. He took my selfish life and He gave me His. And He did that to you. And He's done it for the whole world. And it's our job to share that good news with people. When this transformation takes place, people outside begin to recognize there's something different about you. It may take a little while because it depends on how fast you're able to turn over the junk that's in your life. The junk that's in your life has to be nailed to the cross. That's where we give it to Him. And we die to that. Those of us who still want what we want, Scripture calls them carnal Christians. It's okay. You know, they haven't come into the fullness of what God wants in their lives. But when they do, and you're like me, you wonder what took so long. Why are you holding on to something that's not good for you? If you knew you were eating a lunch that was filled with poison, would you eat it? No, you wouldn't. You've got wisdom, girl. But we do that. We forget that God is good and that what He gives to us is good for us. I don't want the things of God. You know, I want to live my life the way I think I should. Well, how's it working for you? Is your life turning over or is your life still the same? You know, missing the gears in which to shift because you're in neutral. You're not gaining ground. You're not losing ground. You're just there. I call that existing. Until you make a confirmed commitment to Jesus Christ, you've forgotten who you are. And that commitment needs to be spoken each and every day. I'm not saying you have to do it. I do it to remind myself who owns me. Who has the right to tell me what I should do or not do? I don't want to forget. James says, you know, as we turn away from the mirror, we become a forgetful listener. Are you just going to hear, oh, this is Pastor, he's just espouting something, and I'm going to live my life? I've struggled and agonized with this. I'm telling you the heart of God, what He's laid on my heart for you, all of you. Don't forget. He paid a tremendous price to bring us together. In any other way, we would not have any relationship. We would not have any fellowship. We wouldn't have anything in common except we're human beings. But because of Christ, because of Jesus Christ, He removes those obstacles that keep us away from each other. And now He wants to remove the obstacles that are holding people back from Him. He is a jealous God. And we forget to tell them about Jesus, what Jesus is doing. What is our rallying cry, men, to live our life? Revelation 12:11. Come on, Miss Holly, say it. You're not of the male gender, but I'll let you say it. Right. We overcome the adversary by the blood of the Lamb, what He's done, the word of testimony, what He's doing in our lives, and we did not even care about our lives, even unto death. That means I don't care what's going on in my life. There's nothing more important than me having the character of Jesus Christ built into me so I can speak life to somebody else. You see, what I've learned is through adversity, there are opportunities that God creates in that adversity. He's given me eyes. Who is it that you want me to talk to, God? We give too much onus on the devil and not enough onus on our God, our Father, our Creator, His power. He created the devil. Don't you think His power is able to sustain you? I don't know, Pastor. I'm going in a tough way. You know, you're saying things that, yeah, make sense, but anytime you have a but or an if, that's Satan. My Bible says God never used an if or a but. He said, can. If you believe, all things are possible. Where's your faith? Where's your faith and who's it in? You see, we forget And so thereby we go back to our natural tendencies. I have to tell you that there is communication that comes through. And yeah, we could do better communication. Pastor Mike and I, we're so busy now. We want to put a day together where we just sit, relax, enjoy each company, and talk about what God is doing. And we'll get there, brother. Maybe a poolside. But we'll get there. If you're still living your life the way you want to live it, not the way that God has prescribed for you, you won't experience transformation. I'm so proud of Nolan. I've watched this transformation in the last several months happen in his life because he's listened and applied the word of truth. He's given this stuff to God. He's not tried to defend himself. He's not tried to speak evil of anyone or anything. He understands he's in this situation, but God's going to bring him through. God is going to make a situation that's bad into blessing. And he's receiving blessings into his life because he's given it to God. Do we forget? In spite of all that we suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ, it compares nothing to the reward that we're going to have in heaven. There's no comparison. You see, we're only here for a short time. And for me, I lived 30 years for myself. I was an opera singer. Me, 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 me. I. You know, it's all for me. I almost suffered a divorce. But God. I almost suffered lost relationship with people I cared very much for. But God. I had to make a decision. You have to make a decision. And that decision is every day. I die daily. It's not what I want, it's what he wants. If I believe that God is for me, and I believe God is for me, it doesn't matter what the situation is. Word of warning. Don't have pastor pray. Because when I pray, things happen. When we bought this building, I asked the Lord for workers. Everybody, every man lost his job. But God sustained them. And as we were coming to the end of this, every man began to get a job, go back to work. We got to stop focusing on the problem. We've got to start focusing on He who is the solution to every problem. Don't you think He knows what your problem is? We don't need to remind Him. We don't. My Bible says, Jesus said, your Father knows in what you need already. We forget, and so we remind him of it. And reminding him negates our faith in him. That's a fact. When you focus on the problem, your focus is wrong and you've forgotten. I'm here to exhort you to remember him. Remember who you are in him. You're an overcomer. You're victorious. There's nothing that can stop you but you. Or, as the Bible says, self. God is showing me things that are impossible for me. Not impossible for him. Last time, Pastor Mike and I spoke, he says, what can you believe for? I said, I believe that God wants to fill this sanctuary by the end of the year. Gomez jumps on my faith, and he says, I want to see it quadruple. I believe that. Quadruple means four times. I'm not taking anything for granted. God is in the multiplication business. Look around you. We don't have any of the kids here, but look, see what God is doing. And you're a part of this. In spite of us looking at our problems, God is doing this. God is doing this. I sat at the you were there that day when we were sitting at the settlement table. And the lawyer says, Pastor, I don't know if you're aware of this, but you did everything wrong. I can't see how we got to the settlement table. And I looked at him and I said, Bob, but God spoke. This was our building. God spoke. This was ours. God is still speaking. We're supposed to have paid the debt back and refied it. But God has extended grace to us because we're on the way of doing his will. And so God gives us favor with everyone. What is favor? What is grace? Learn this today. Grace is when we release our faith, it's his power working on our behalf. I believe God said, give us this building. And it was his grace that brought it to pass. Stop trying to do it in your strength. Stop trying to live your life. Die. Will you please die? Spiritually. Don't go out there and do something drastic. Stop doing it. This may be uncomfortable for some people. I understand. Where you are, I was. And I'm telling you, remember him. Keep him in your mind daily. Let him speak to your heart. Write it down. Let's do what Habakkuk said. Write down the vision. And in that time, someone else reads it, they will run with it. What is God saying to you? Well, I don't know, you know. I've had these flat tires. I couldn't get the Bible study. You know. My car died. God knows I need a job, you know. You're making my head hurt. Stop stating the obvious. God, you know I need a job. It's yours. Provide it. That doesn't mean we stop looking for work. That doesn't mean we stop applying. Stop worrying about it, right? He'll provide. Every man that came here for almost a year was out of work, but God provided for them. He provided. The only one who was working was me. God is so good. And yet we went through, my family and I, we went through the toughest time of our life during that time. But we pressed on. We pressed on to the high calling. You see, your calling isn't common. That's what he's trying to get us to understand. He's called you and he's giving you a calling. He is the Most High God. And what he states about you and your calling is higher than anything. I would go with his opinion before I go with man's opinion. Man's opinion is to tear down you to lift them up. God died to lift us up. There are those who are still out there. We had opportunity yesterday, and I'm in complete agreement with Pastor Mike. It's only the beginning. And I was singing the Carpenter song the other day. We've only just begun. It's going to get exciting, guys. It's going to get exciting. What I get excited is when I see Dylan, 15 years old, up here singing. Oh, I could never do that, Pastor. I could never raise my hands. I couldn't. That's right. You couldn't. But in Jesus Christ, you can. I couldn't speak words of prophecy. Well, I guess you can't. You shut your mouth down. You put a lock on your lips. And you don't want to be used of God. As I told one individual, you're stealing from me. You're stealing from the church. God wants to speak direction and encouragement to the church. And when you don't share it, you're stealing it from me. Because it may be a word that I need to hear. Dan came to me several weeks ago with a word. He said, I don't know who it's for. I read the word. I said, it's for me. Thank you. You think it's because I'm pastor that I have all the answers? I know him who does, and I know those who want to be used of God. I need encouragement. You think my life, you think my life has been handy dandy? I've gone through mostly everything that you guys have gone through, and I keep pointing to Jesus. And he has found something in me that he has refined that is precious to him. And it radiates out of me. And the only way I can put it is his love. His love for his people. His love for all people. He loves you unequivocally. There's no conditions. He loves you. But he wants you to back in his family. We have to understand that we need to remember. We need to understand these things. Gomez, would you tell the teachers to come in? We're not going to have communion today. But I want you to remember the price that Christ paid for us. And I'm not saying it. He's preaching to me too, because I need to remember. Just like you need to remember. Listen to the words of this song. And respond to him.